This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Dipsy. Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rob, one pansexual, agender feminist with a fatty, whose pronouns are they, them, and daddy.
We have two types of episodes on this here show. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host, and one of my lovely rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. In our group episodes, all the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is a group episode, but we're down a couple of soldiers today. But down some people.
But we're going to rep their spirit.
Akua is sick. She thinks that I got her sick. I am also sick. I did not get Akua sick.
It was actually physically impossible.
I could not have got... Akua was sick within an hour of seeing me.
You guys should Google incubation periods.
Cool. I did not get you sick, but we do hope that you feel better.
Yes.
And Rebecca's moving.
Yep. Big things are going.
Yeah, so on this episode, we're talking about self-doubt and misanthropy in our lives. We're going to talk about solo polyamory a little bit, read a bunch of your listener letters, and get into much, much more. But before we begin to all that, we have a couple of short segments, and they are...
Bay of the Week.
Where we talk about people who we find very attractive and cool and fun and smart.
Hole of the Week.
Where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
And cute date idea of the week.
Which is pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah. No, but what is it, Sam?
We give you cute date ideas.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
That's just something not that. We give you lottery numbers. Like, what?
What we give you free call center numbers so you can call into your phone sex hotline. If you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag InnerHoleUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag pod until other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. We even speak at Quaker schools.
Yes, apparently we do.
Yeah.
And it's about to be quite
from
hidden.
Quaker schools. Yeah,
so funny. Yeah. I'm so with the shits.
What do they want us to say? What do I'm they
sure,
want us to do?
I'm sure it's gonna they would want us to do exactly what we do.
How do you bust this Quaker pussy wide open?
Problematic, like
my pussy sounds like Quaker oatmeal. Sorry.
Anyway.
Bae of the week.
Yes, bae of the week.
My bae of the week is Roslyn of Loving Solo. So back in, not this May, but last May, the show has been on for a very long time. We did a little mini series called Polygamy. So Roslyn was our guest on an episode called Solo Polyamory. She's also the metamour of another guest, Evita, who was on the Unicorns episode. But so Roslyn is like a big fan of the show, and she, I don't know who told us to, I think it was Evita who was like, oh, get Roslyn on the show because she's really good. She has a really good perspective. But ever since then, I've been following, not ever since then, but she started her own blog. It's a blog from the perspective of her, a solo polyamory. Geeky, kinky, black feminist, and black woman. And before I went on vacation, I was just like scrolling the fuck out of Facebook, just doing anything to fucking avoid packing. And I saw this meme on Instagram that was like, imagine a nigga is on his deathbed and you gotta say to the doctor, no, I'm not his wife, we just have a really strong bond. And I initially laughed at it because I'm like, niggas will really be out here like, yo, it's just a bond or whatever. And I put like the laugh react and I was like looking through the comments or whatever, and I saw Roslyn and she was like, niggas might think this is funny, but this is actually like, this is what like I am in some people's lives, and that's like fucked up. Like, just because I'm not married to someone or I'm not in a one-to-one committed relationship, where like the point of solo polyamory is that there's no hierarchy in the romance in your life, so you don't have like a primary partner or anything like that, or like you're not in a triad or anything like that, like every partner means the same thing to you individually. And she was like, just because I'm not this person's like wife or primary doesn't mean that like I don't want any say in when they pass away or anything like that. And then she also did this really extensive live session where she went into I guess like the intersection of being the solo polyamorous person, where like she's not anybody's like like, she doesn't have a primary partner, but she also deals with things like grief. And she had, like, I think this August was like the anniversary of a lot of deaths in her life. And she was just talking about it from her perspective of, like, not having, like, that one anchor person to lean on when you're going through all the shit in your life. So I think that, like, I was talking about this with someone else recently, like, sub communities like non-monogamy and kink and things, like, just because it might not be the community that you're in per se, a lot of the tenets and ideals that people have to say about it, you can apply to your life and, like, think about, like, I'm not a solo polyamorous person, but I don't think, like, at this current moment in my life, I'm, like, anybody's number one or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I might never be anybody's number one. Mm-hmm. So, like, hearing her perspectives on that, I don't know, it was, like, it was reassuring, mm-hmm. I guess, or just, like, it's something that you can connect with even if you're not a solo polyamorous person. So she's also, like, super smart, and I dig her, and she's cute, and her sister is cute, too. She has a twin sister who looks exactly like her.
Voice.
Yeah, so shout out to Roslyn.
I love that episode. So when I was deployed, and I was, like,
did, like, it hit your feels?
It did, and it was, like, because I'm starting to come to, like, the conclusion that, like, I'm not polyamorous. Well, I knew I wasn't polyamorous. Like, I thought I could have been, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And then I'm not monogamous, but in a different way, because I'm not yet reached that point where I'm past the trauma that can really enable me to truly be non-monogamous.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
Like, all the feelings that come with non-monogamy, of course, are, like, natural, like jealousy and stuff like that, and things that you have to be able to just get through, acknowledge and get through. But for me, it's crippling. And I know that that is just, like, I've just been through so much, and I just started therapy. So I'm like, I don't want to force non-monogamy on myself when I'm not ready for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's okay, because everything ain't for everybody kind of thing. Even though I really do respect it, and I hope one day I do achieve that.
Yeah.
But listening still to that episode, it just was like, I always have a problem of, like, putting myself first. And mm-hmm. then that's was, like, the main facet of it. It's like, it's me. And then it's everybody else. It's never this person, then me, and then the rest of my partners. It's me first. Mm-hmm. And it was like, the growth that it takes to achieve that, but the unlearning that it takes to achieve that.
Yeah.
But I was, like, kind of, like, envious, like, damn, I can't wait to be that, like, free.
To achieve that, yeah.
Yeah, one day. But fucking shout out to you, because we stan Roslyn.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely check out her blog, which I'll link in the description of this episode, and I'll also link her Facebook page also, where she does her lives,
and link our episode. Yeah, because it's, like, a really fucking good it really is. Yeah. whether or not you are non-monogamous, it's so much to learn.
Yeah, just about general, like, communicating and yourself and, like, insecurities and things like jealousy and all that kind of
stuff. I've been meaning
hierarchy in general, because that exists without romantic relationships.
Remember
MySpace? Where we literally used to rank our friends. Yeah, like, what was the point of that?
I was actually I've been thinking about the episode a lot in my head, and I was like, damn, I never re-listened to episodes. Mm-hmm. Anything, but I'm like, I think I gotta go back to that one.
Yeah,
like, that's one of the
major
staples.
Major keys alerts. Hoes of the week.
That's really funny.
This week's hoes of the week are the folks who gave us lovely ratings on Apple. So we want to shout out Liz 2018 2019, who has been a loyal listener since 2016.
Lots of years.
Yes. The whole decade, nigga. And Zuri Love, who gave us a Apple podcast review about her experience on Inner Hope Rising, which was super cool. Thank you, Zuri. And then also wanted to shout out at @S_HeroForHire on Twitter, who shouted out the whole BBB. I think the tweet was like, now that fall is coming, here's some podcasts to listen to, which I don't quite think that's a one-to-one thing, but
nope. But sure, like, new season, new podcast.
It's Sunday. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, fuck it. And yeah, that got like 30 retweets. So I thought that was super cool that they did that. Thank you so much for shouting out us and the BBB, which consists of Tea with Queen and Jay, Queer Walk, Marsha's Plate, and Bag Ladies podcast. Yes, all good shows that you should definitely listen to.
Yes. When you post us and shout us out, it really does help. Yeah. We always see a difference.
Yeah.
Get us out there, because we trying to reach the people.
We see some new peeps. Also, shout out to that one person who tweeted, we don't sound like robots.
Yo, yeah, somebody, another podcast said that. like, yeah, we don't know. It's like, yeah, so we don't sound like robots or some shit. Basically,
somebody tweeted about us in June, and they responded. This podcast responded to that tweet that was from June, and was like, if you don't want shit that sounds like robot voices, listen to us.
And it was like, did they listen to our podcast and enjoy, and that was the conclusion they drew? Did they never listen to our podcast and was like, this is what they write on everything? Like every podcast thing? They just put that,
no, because like, I'm a fucking stalker, so I went on their page and I saw the other types of things that they commented, and they've never said
they
that
never
before.
Said that. So well, we're robots.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
The jig is up.
Well, we've been maybe beep, boop, bop, I thought it's because Sam is actually always talks about fucking code. Sam always talks about AIs. Talks about dating AIs. Everybody's an AI. Men are AIs.
I was going to do a current event on a blowjob device that is AI.
And look at that.
Learned how to, so they knew.
That's literally what they're talking about. They're talking about the fact that we cannot stop talking about artificial intelligence. And clearly, we must be artificial intelligence. That's like people who, it's like internalized robot phobia.
This podcast is recorded in binary and then it's translated in English.
It's like New York binary, though.
Actors, yeah. The jig is up. So thanks to you guys, yeah, too.
Shout out to you guys.
Shout out to Nameless Podcast, who nobody listens to.
For outing us as robots. Yeah.
Self-care tip of the week?
My self-care tip of the week is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That is something that has been said to me a lot over these past few months. Mm-hmm. As you wiggers may or may not know, I'm training to become a firefighter, and this training is like very physically demanding. It's also very mentally demanding, that in a way that I didn't realize until today. So I've been hearing that get comfortable being uncomfortable, stop doubting yourself, and blah blah blah. And I was like, these things don't apply to me. What are you niggas talking about? But today I had like that breaking point where a firefighter was telling me these things, like, you need to, you're not going to feel comfortable. It's going to hurt. You're going to feel like you're going to die, and you got to keep going. You cannot stop, because your life, other people's lives will depend on you not stopping, or you can't break when you face adversity. You can't just fall apart. Like, you have to stay strong, mm-hmm. because people are waiting for you to fail, and you passing relies on you remembering who you are and all of your strength. And I was sweating, so nobody knew I was crying. But
that's funny.
Bitch, I was fucking crying.
Always
like,
depend
real
on the sweat to like, hold you down. I'm still a real
it's
nigga.
Like crying in the rain. I loved it. I was like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. But it really hit me, because I was like, wow. It was more than what it was, is I was recognizing, oh my God, this person's right. I do doubt myself. I was doubting myself. I finished the fucking workout, but I was doubting that I could do it, but I did it. So it's like why
obviously
did I doubt
you could
it?
Do it.
Yeah. And that's happened. It happens to me every time. I like really feel like, oh, I'm like struggling to finish the shit, but I always finish it. But the thing is that it's so uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good to have your muscles burn and to feel fatigued and feel like you're going to die. Yeah. It is a very uncomfortable feeling, but I know it's going to feel like that. It always feels like that. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn to, or will be learning to embrace it and to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, cool. That's good advice for like working out and like getting this job. But like, what about the rest of life? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, because advice can be applied to all facets of your life. And for me, another part that advice is important is in my relationship, because we've been going through like a lot of things of like, a lot of it's just like getting to know each other, yeah. in ways that I feel like I've never had to get to know somebody before, mm-hmm. Because I don't see him. So a lot of like the things that he would know about me very quickly, he doesn't know, because he doesn't get to see me react in person to situations and shit like that.
It's a long distance relationship.
Yes, yeah, so it's a very long distance relationship. And I don't really see him that often, and we don't FaceTime as much as we used to. So it's a lot of like texting and phone calls and stuff. And he was telling me things about myself that at first I took so defensively, like, what the fuck you mean? And blah, blah, blah. I was so mad that he was telling me these things. Mm-hmm. And then after a while I thought about it. And then I would tell my ex, when I hung out with my ex, I told him what my boyfriend said. And he's like, yeah, no, he's right. That's something that you did do. And then he started giving me all the instances where I did this thing.
He pulled out a fucking checklist.
Nigga pulled out the laundry list.
Calendar. It's like, on December 21st, 2015, It's an instance.
It was so bad. But he's like, that's like the one thing that I remember about you that like that I didn't like. It's like you were perfect, but you used to get so mad when things would not go your way. When mm-hmm. we went out, mm-hmm. I would get so fucking mad. And that was one thing that Leon was complaining about. And it made me so fucking uncomfortable to hear somebody like call me out, bro. Like literally call me out. And it made it really hard for me to like take that in. Granted, like I was like playing it cool. Like I could work on that. I could work on that. And deep down inside, I was like,
I'm not perfect. Like, nobody likes to hear that. Though.
Yes, it hurt. It hurts. Yeah. Like it doesn't hurt in like a way. Like I know it's not malicious, but it hurts to like hear that you aren't perfect because you just want to feel perfect in somebody's eyes, but it's also unreasonable to feel that way. So that's like the other facet is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable in your relationships, because not everything is going to be all fucking glorious. Like niggas going to tell you some shit that you don't want to hear. You're going to have to say some things that you don't want to say.
Relationships are work.
Yeah, it isn't like another job.
Yeah.
Even though it should be a fun job, you shouldn't hate this job, you should love this job, but it is a job. You got to continuously put in work. But even in knowing that is slightly uncomfortable because you think that everything should just flow. No. Everything should just happen and it should it's just all be perfect. You really got to put in actual hours and time and dedication. You have to be dedicated to your relationship.
Yeah.
So just get comfortable being uncomfortable in everything that you do, because you know you're about to be uncomfortable. You know you got to have that long fucking phone call. You're like, damn, I got to call this nigga, or I got to meet up with this nigga because we got to talk about this thing that happened and we have to unpack it.
Yeah,
it's about to be uncomfortable, but don't let that uncomfortability drive you from not doing it. Mm-hmm. You got to say what's on your mind.
It has to be done. Mm-hmm. So like, don't let the uncomfortability make you be like, okay, let me just hold this shit in.
Yeah.
Because then
you're really going to be uncomfortable. Yeah,
then it's going to be terrible.
And just like with me working out, where it's like, I knew that I was going to finish, even though I didn't know the shape I was going to be in. Like my hamstrings are, they feel like I've been working out nonstop, even though that's not the case. I have no idea why my hamstrings are so fucking sore. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in the best shape right now after this workout, but I knew I wasn't going to die. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing in like real life. If you think about everything that has happened to you as far as just conversations go, granted, they might have been traumatic and things might not have went well, but you have not died, which is like the end all be all a lot of the time. Like you always get through it. And most of the time you can look back and say like, I'm a better person because of it, kind of thing. So
that's good advice.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
MotivationalRobbie.com.
Cute date idea of the week. My cute date idea of the week is to have a chili making competition.
I literally thought it said chill for the longest. I kept having to read and I was like, I don't get it. And then it was like this long ass blur with dates. And I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about?
You didn't write that?
What?
The blurb.
No. I thought that had something to do with the chill competition.
There's an inner home uprising ghost just writing shit in here. I did not know what that was. I thought that was you.
No, bitch, I thought that was you.
It's a fucking poltergeist, it's nigga.
Fucking venom.
It's a specter. Wow. I don't know what that is.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to act like it's not there because it's making me super uncomfortable now because it's really weird. Maybe this is somebody's date idea. All right. This
worst case scenario
They might have copied and pasted the blurb from the website.
It looks scary to me.
Yeah, it makes me very uncomfortable because the shit just literally says worst case scenario like over and over again and like some horrifying intent.
We are haunted here at NRL Uprising.
And the wood god is not pleased.
Oh my god. Well, my cute date idea of the week is to not have a chill making competition. Okay, finally, the cute date idea is to have a chili making competition. So, I don't know. I like to make chili. I don't know why. I just do. I like one pot meals or whatever. And I feel like it's a good wintertime, autumn time meal. But I've never done this before. I just think it would be super cute. If you and Bae had a cooking competition. Chili is a good thing because you can all use the same types of ingredients or whatever and come out with your own different dish. So you can cook it side by side and like it's like cute cooking time or whatever. And then you invite friends to come over
and
have a blind tasting. And then I don't know, whoever wins, whatever the fuck wins. I think it's cute to cook with Bae's. And then also you could see like, can that nigga really cook?
Facts.
Because sometimes they can't cut onions.
Me. I look like a fucking crazy motherfucker trying to cut an onion yesterday.
Put on some music or whatever, or a mutual podcast, and then you fuck in the kitchen. Nah, don't do that.
I'm dead. Don't do that.
It's unsanitary.
That's mad unsanitary. Me and my boyfriend, we cook together. It's like general, like, things. He's like giving me like tips, and I'm like, who are you? And he did it with no shirt on. I'm like,
see, that's, can I have sex with you? That's when it's cute. Although, you know, when there's oil in the pot, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, but he was wilding for respect, but he made it happen. He did not get burned. Okay.
October 6th, we have Sex Trivia Sundays, the first Sunday of every month. It is sponsored by Babeland at Love Story, which is a bar on the border of Queens and Brooklyn in Ridgewood/Bushwick. It's a pub trivia event meets a sexy Sunday trivia event meets a party. We always have free giveaways to the first and second place winners, and sometimes just to random ass people who show up. Twerking, drink specials, our sex expert Nika, who works for Babeland and is very smart in between rounds, she gives us the facts behind the questions. It's a free ass time. If you want to play, we do ask that you click the link to register to play in the description of this episode, so I know how much paper and pencils to bring. And that's about it. October 6th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
I'm gonna have my ass out.
And Rob is wearing assless chaps
and the red wig that I had on
in our live. Yeah,
so please come and support my assless chaps.
Do 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 do. This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by a very sensual and very sexy sponsor, which is why you were all blessed to hear my mouth rendition of Careless Whisper. You're busy, your inbox is full of unread emails, there's dinner to make, and you haven't taken a deep breath since yesterday. Why not take a moment to reconnect with yourself and prioritize your pleasure with Dipsy Stories? Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions designed to turn you on. Each story is relatable and immersive. And there's something for everyone, whether you're heterosexual, queer, monogamous, polyamorous, or anything in between. Find stories about strangers meeting on the beach in Mexico, or seeing that ex you can't stop thinking about in the subway, or a partner who wants to up the ante in the bedroom. And the guided sessions can help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. They add 3 brand new stories every week, so you'll always have more to explore. Whatever you're in the mood for, Dipsy always keeps it real and really hot. So I actually opened up Dipsy and started listening on the train, which was a bad idea because the story I listened to was very, very steamy and I get wet very, very easily, and no one wants to sit in my wet spot on the LIRR. Unless sitting in other people's wet spots is your jam, of course. Anyways, I opened it again at home and the app is super slick and easy to navigate. The stories come in easy to find categories, so whatever scenario is tickling your fancy, you can find it at the time. So let's say if hooking up with a bad bitch during your vacation or filming your own porn with your boyfriend for your girlfriend's viewing pleasure are scenarios that you want to play out in your mind, Dipsy has got you covered. And for listeners of the Inner Hoe Uprising, that's you, my loves, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/IHU. dipsystories.com/I as in inner, H as in hoe, U as in uprising. Now let's get back to my Careless Whisper impression. Do 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 do. No, I'm just kidding. Let's get back to the show. Pay a hoe. If you love, love, love this show and appreciate the hard work that we do to bring it to you every week, we would so greatly appreciate it if you supported us monetarily and non-monetarily. To support us monetarily, we ask you to visit innerhoeuprising.com and choose the Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly options. Pay a Hoe Once redirects you to our PayPal, where you can drop off any one-time donation at any amount that you want as many times as you want. So that takes you to paypal.me/innerhoe. It's kind of like we're fuck buddies and we just call each other up when we want to satisfy that itch. If you choose the Pay a Hoe Monthly option, you'll be redirected to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. On Patreon, you'll be given the option of setting a monthly recurring donation at any price that you want. And we'll return the favor with some monthly goodies, like we're in a committed relationship and we have some expectations for one another. So if you donate $2 or more a month, you get early and discounted access to Inner Hoe Uprising events. And if you donate $5 or more a month, you get, fuck that, a regular Inner Hoe Uprising newsletter curated by yours truly. It's fun, it's insightful, it's filled with offbeat stories about sex, love, and dating that you may have missed in the current drudgery of the news cycle. If you're strapped for cash or don't wish to support us monetarily, then there are other ways to help us out. You can leave an Apple Podcast review or a Stitcher review. You can comment on one of our episodes on SoundCloud or CastBox or Himalaya. You can tweet about us and tag us on Twitter or Instagram. You can reply to Twitter threads asking what your favorite podcasts are with our @. You can drop a link to your favorite Inner Hoa Uprising episode in your group chat. You can tell your work best friend to give us a listen. Or you can walk down the street rocking some Inner Hoa Uprising merchandise, which you can find on innerhoauprising.com/merchandise. Now, let's get into this motherfucking show. We're supposed to start with our current event segment called Fuck That, but you know what I did today? Fuck That, mini Fuck That. I slept.
Yo, so you didn't read the
thing? I watched American Horror Story and I masturbated because I did not feel good.
So did you even read
the... I did read it, yes. This was supposed to be a story about... I mean, the story did happen. I just...
You said the story doesn't even exist.
I made it up. It's a made up tale. So there's just not enough facts on it to make this like a full segment. So disclaimer. It's just me and my bullshit talking. But from my memory, so there was a study done in a scientific journal called Science, which sounds kind of fake.
Yeah.
This is science.
Yeah, so science. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But basically, there's been a bunch of studies over the past couple of years that's trying to like target a quote unquote gay gene, like one gene that determines
that.
Your sexual orientation. So a couple of studies have gone either way, but this most recent study says that I think there's about 17 plus genes, something like that, that they don't... It's not like what if your gene is expressed in the certain way, you have homosexuality, but it's not like if one of these 17 plus genes exists or is expressed in a certain way, you particularly are going to be gay. But it's like a combination of that and how you interact with the world that may determine whether or not you are gay. But then also the fact that it's like 17 and counting genes and they haven't like looked at the entire genome says that like, it's not just one gene, so there's no gay gene, but then also they're making the point that they don't want to narrow it down to just genetics. It's like a mixture of genetics and how people interact with the world or how the world interacts with them, exactly. But they also made it a point to be like, we don't even want to definitively say like it's like 80% nature and 20% nurture or 80% nurture and 20% nature. Basically, like in the abstract of the study, which is like the explanation after the study is done, where the scientists like posit their thoughts about what the study means or whatever, they were just like, it's like all up in the air. Mm-hmm. Like it's not just like one specific thing. And they kind of like liken it to sexuality being fluid, akin to like something like the Kinsey scale, mm-hmm. where like it's a combination of various different factors in one particular person that might show up in them being gay or bisexual or anything like that. But then also they also made it a point to be like all of these, like you could have these particular like genetic markers or whatever,
still not be gay.
Or you could have these particular genetic markers and the environment could have interacted with you in this way and you could have interacted with the environment in this way, and at the end of the day you can also choose to be in a same-sex relationship on top
regardless.
Of all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I know that I didn't read this article, but I read when the study came out. Mm-hmm. I read something before.
Yeah.
Well, somebody actually posted something on Twitter. There you go. That's really where I saw it initially. And they kept this clipping, this newspaper clipping from like 1993. And it was saying that scientists isolated a gay gene.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, the controversy really behind it, which is probably also a reason why scientists are like, I'm not trying to say that this is definitively like genetic,
yeah.
because it brings up the issue of eugenics.
Okay.
And like, is it eugenics? Yeah, not epigenetics, eugenics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because then people who don't want gay babies are trying
to CRISPR out the gay
precisely,
gene.
Precisely, because yeah. you can,
which
you know,
means you can like edit out the gene.
You can edit out the gene or you could choose not to have this baby.
Yeah.
Essentially, too.
If
like
you pre-screen the baby mm-hmm. and it has the quote unquote gene.
Yeah, it's just like you can, you know, screen for other things. Mm-hmm. It's possible. Mm-hmm. It's like probably improbable, but it's possible to do something like that, especially
I mean,
in this fucking
right
world. You said happens right now?
Yeah, you can screen babies for like...
like genetic things, but mm-hmm. it's typically something that'll be like either you will die or the baby will die or the baby will have like severe difficulties,
yeah,
like at physical. This moment, yeah. mm-hmm. But it's not to say that in the world that we're living in now and the trajectory that we're going, that people won't try to isolate those genes specifically mm-hmm. to make sure they don't have those kinds of babies, yeah. which is eugenic. So it was that. And then also... It's like, nah, that's not the field that I feel like studying, because I feel like there's so much other shit to study mm-hmm. than like, why are niggas gay? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's so much other things mm-hmm. on earth to like dedicate
I mean, I guess
to.
The reason why, and I can understand this, like maybe like 10 years ago when it was like the whole Lady Gaga, like I was born this way kind of thing. Like that was like a marker of like. There's a scientific reason why we exist, mm-hmm. so don't fucking shit on us. Mm-hmm. But that's like not problematic, but that's like false, because there's a scientific reason why disabled folks exist. Like for example, like people with autism or whatever. But there are still people who are like, I don't want to vaccinate my kids, even though that's a fucking falsity or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that that might have been the driving force behind some of that research back in the day. But I think. Even now, something like this is way more progressive in that it doesn't fucking have to be scientifically validated. Mm-hmm. Like, I can really just do whatever the fuck I want to do, mm-hmm. and I don't need scientific basis for it to be, like, okay.
Like, which oh, is like so the, I am gay
which
because
is the
I have
ultimate,
the genes.
Which is the ultimate, like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to be a fucking reason. I can do whatever I want to do. And that kind of seems like in the abstract where the scientists who did this study were trying to go with it. Like, we don't fucking know if it's nature. We don't know if it's nurture. It's a bunch of shit going on. We haven't pegged it down yet. But, like, fuck it.
Niggas just bored.
Yeah.
It was like, this is some interesting research to get into.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for studying all of the genome for whatever fucking reason, to be honest.
I mean, there's definitely... Let me back that up, especially me being a science nigga. There's nothing wrong with sequencing the human genome because mm-hmm. it's also like really fucking fascinating, and that is pretty fascinating. I just hope that in sequencing the genome that they're not going to start violating in that kind of way of like, all right, well, this is why this happened. This is why this happens, and mm-hmm. let's just start killing these niggas with these genes.
Yeah,
off.
I mean, that's not like a facet of like doing studies, though. That's a facet of the society that we live in.
Yeah, like, but that's a part of it, though, because niggas stay using studies to validate the things that they do.
Yeah,
even if the study has nothing to do with what they fucking do.
Mm-hmm. Like that's like the people who are funding the studies. Like, study whatever the fuck you want to do, just because you can. Like, is there a reason to? Is there is there like a pro or con to studying outer space? No. But just do it because like people are curious or
and
whatever.
There are pros, but we know
there are definitely pros and there are definitely cons. But mm-hmm. just like as human beings, we are curious. So I'm like all for whatever, wherever your curiosity takes you. Just like don't use it to do bullshit. But the reason why people are going to use it to do bullshit is because we live in a bullshit society.
We live in a society.
We live in a bullshit society. I'm the Joker.
But the people who are actually doing the studies, they seem to be very aware of like.
Yeah, in this instance. And even so this study, I believe it was noted in the abstracts, but it might have been in the article that I read. Even the study in particular had its limitations because it didn't account for any transgender folks, which is like, okay, so where does that even play out in regards to talking about sexual orientation or whatever? So it didn't study any transgender folks, but also the sample size was largely white. That's like a socioeconomic mm-hmm. difference. Like white people are going to interact with the world and the world is going to interact with white people differently than any other kind of race of people. Mm-hmm. So
and trans
they did
people
say,
as well.
Yeah, they said like there needs to just be more research done.
Yeah,
but as it stands, there's like no gay gene.
I'm sure there's like going to be, it's going to be so many limitations for a while, but at least they got funding. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, I'm very curious. I mean, I didn't read the actual study, so I'm curious to know how they, like where they're getting the DNA that they're sequencing. Mm-hmm. Like, is it from, I'm always curious, are they using ancestry.com? Cause they be doing that shit. Mm-hmm. Or is it like people who were like, hey, I'll participate in the study, or mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, are they going out? Are they doing outreach to find out? But then also with the transgender thing too, it's like, yeah, because if you are a transgender man, but they're sequencing your genes, but your genes are like female genes or whatever. But mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, that just brings a whole nother wave of like complications. But we as humans make advancements so fucking quickly. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of scary. So mm-hmm. I can't wait now that I think about it in that sense. Like, mm-hmm. it's actually pretty fucking interesting. Mm-hmm. Look at me change my mind so fast. Hypocrite.
It's okay. It's always okay to change your mind. Yeah, that's this week's Fuck That.
We did it anyway.
Apologies on my end for not having all of the facts. I'm sick. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She loved a party on the weekend. She loved a party on the weekend. All right, now let's go on to our next segment, which is called
Fuck Me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. Take it away.
I guess I just kind of accepted me like doubting myself as my process of like doing things because mm-hmm. I'm like, I get myself like mad amped, like, oh, this sucks. I don't know if I could do this, blah, blah, blah. Even though deep down inside that I know that I can. And then I do it. Mm-hmm. And then I just move on with my life. Mm-hmm. And then like deep down inside, I know that like I never actually like truly doubted myself, mm-hmm. like, because I knew I was going to do it because I've done these things like a billion times. It is a very odd process that I go through, but it's my process. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to like realize that it's not like the best process to have.
Okay.
But I'm also trying to decide whether I really feel like that, or do I feel like that because my boyfriend's telling me that. Mm. So it's really complex because, you know, sometimes your feelings get mended with other people's feelings and you start to lose sight of, is this how I feel or is this how somebody's like kind of telling me to feel kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like really complex in that fashion. So I'm starting to think that, no, he's bringing it to my attention, but this is how I feel. And I feel like there's a better way to get to the same point without breaking myself down a little bit. Hmm. Like, maybe building myself up. Like, bitch, you did this shit 1,000 times. You're gonna do it again. So mm-hmm. what's the point kind of thing? But it's a process. And in the same fashion, y'all niggas know I'm in therapy. I've only been in therapy for like a few months. And if you know anything about therapy, you know that shit moves very fucking slowly. Because you just don't got that much time. You be missing appointments because shit be happening. Shit be happening with your therapist. And it's, if you've had, especially if you had a lot of trauma, you have a lot to unpack. So the sessions be varying. You be talking about one thing, another thing, another thing, another thing. There's really no, depending on what kind of therapy you're having, at least. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's no consistency. So you might reach one conclusion, but you never reach like a real breakthrough for a really long time. But in my therapy, she pointed out that I don't do enough for myself, mm-hmm. that I do a lot of things for other people, and I call it doing things for myself.
Like what?
So like the latest was, when I went to Austin, I had like some panic attacks and shit, and like life was just hard and rough, and I felt like, okay, I need to get on medication because clearly I'm not handling my shit right. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to her and she's like, oh, all right, bitch, this is mad fucking random. But if that's what you want to do, yeah. like, I'll schedule this psychiatrist appointment for you. And I'm like, I'm just tired. Like, I feel like I was getting it together and I'm not. And I just need like help until I get to a point where I can cope on my own. And she's like, all right, sis. Like, I personally think that you're doing fine. But if you don't think you're doing fine, like, you could talk to psychiatrists and see what they say. But then when I went for my next appointment, I was like, nah, I think I'm good.
No, I'm straight.
It's like, I think I'm okay. And she's like, I mean, I'm glad to hear that, because that was like out of character for you to come in. Like, she's like, you seem so defeated. And she asked me like, why did I think that I needed medication? And I told her, I was like, I felt like I was just burdened. I felt like I was a burden to my friends. I was a burden to my boyfriends. And I felt like if I was on medication, I'd numb myself enough so I wouldn't be so emotional and it wouldn't be so hard to like deal with me. Mm-hmm. Which is like mad fucked up, mad flawed thinking. But then she pointed out like, yo, you do all this shit for your friends and you minimize yourself. You make yourself small. You feel like you're taking up space. she's like, when are you going to do something for yourself? Like, when is it going to be like, I'm going to put Rob first? And I was like, I don't know what that looks like. I have literally no, like, she said that it was like somebody describing an alien life form. And you're like, I don't, my brain cannot put that, I can't see that. Like, I can see if you tell me to go across the street, I can see myself walking across the street. If you tell me to put myself first, I just literally have no conception of what that looks like. So that's something that we're going to talk about the next session. But it was something that I've just been thinking about. And even now, like, no, I still don't know what that looks like. I'm still trying to figure out what that truly looks like. But it's a fact. It's a word. Mm-hmm. Like, really. Because I think a part of the self-doubt, too, is like, is it really self-doubt? Or is it just me just making myself feel small, because that's what I'm used to. And then doing what I gotta do, and then going, okay, well, you did it. And then keep it pushing, instead of like giving myself my own roses. Should be hard though
to big yourself up.
Because like the one thing that my boyfriend pointed out was like, it's like you always so negative. Like, it's like every, like a lot of, he said not everything. And I'm like, bitch, you said everything twice already, but okay, Felicia. A lot of the things that you say are just negative. Like, it's like you can, all you, like, almost like he literally almost said, like, all you do is complain kind of thing. Like, you don't really have a lot of positive to say. And I'm like, well, what if my life just isn't that positive? And I just tell you, like, I just tell you everything because I'm like, you're not here. So I can't just, like, I don't know, come home for like 2 minutes, da da da. I'm like, but I talk to you constantly. So as things happen, I tell you, as opposed to like at the end of the day, telling you the important things that happened, you know? But I'm like, now I'm thinking like, maybe as I'm talking to him, maybe I'll, now that he put that in my head, maybe I'll realize. I'm like, that's not the first time I've heard that before. That's not the third time I've heard that before. It's just something that I kind of refuse to believe, like me, negative. But it's a learning, it's all fucking learning curve, trying to figure that part out too. Because like, if I am, then that, no, that's not good. But however, my life is mad different. Like, I am a very traumatized person trying to recover from 20 plus years of trauma. And that shit takes a minute. And I just want to be rewarded for trying at that too. Like, that's a part of the flowers that I need from other people. Like, this bitch, I know that you're doing what you got to do in order to be mentally healthy, but I do know it takes time. So thank you for continuing to take care of yourself, because it's going to take years before I'm like,
Oh, Kurt Cobain.
If ever.
Yeah,
I might not ever be O'Kurt Cobain, because niggas is constantly
O'Kurt Cobain, so you'll never be
O'Kurt. I'll never Cobain, be O'Kurt or O'Kurt Nova voice, but you know, because I just am constantly fucking traumatized. Like, I'm traumatized daily and shit.
And I don't know if you do this because I'm not in your relationship. I hate when people say things like that on Instagram. It's a very Instagram thing to say, but I think one of the reasons, or one of the contributing factors as to why my ex-boyfriend broke up with me, is because I was a particularly negative person. But like you, I was going through a lot of negative fucking shit at the time that we broke up. And everybody goes through negative shit all the time, but that was like a particular negative moment in my life or whatever. So one of the things that he said was like, I was overwhelming to talk to, and he would like sometimes feel like he was going crazy having to like hear the things that I said or whatever, which that's valid because everybody's feelings are valid to them. So obviously we still talk. We just went to Egypt together. Obviously we still talk. But, and it's something I do now, although I don't like complain much to anybody in general anymore. But like, when I do feel the need to like vent on some like serious shit, not some like, oh, this nigga called me a crip on Hinge or whatever, which is like not fucking serious shit. But when I'm like in some fucking like deep shit where I really need to unpack to somebody, I will say, are you willing to accept this right now? Like, can I tell you something? Like, can I vent to you or whatever? So I don't think that fits in every case for your situation, because like some things are like passing, like, oh, this fucking nigga just said, are you Rob or whatever? But like, if it's like it's been a day and you need to like really unpack to this nigga, have you ever considered being like, hey, like this is some heavy shit. Are you in the state of mind to like receive this right now?
That's a good point. That seems like a very valid thing to do. actually. Because, like, the other thing, too, that my therapist pointed out is, like, I used to tell whoever I'm dating, like, one of the, like, requirements was, like, I have to tell them about, like, my biggest trauma off rip. Mm-hmm. Only because it affects me to this day in almost everything that I do. And it's something that I'm still constantly trying to fucking get through. And it also is a reason why I don't talk to certain people in my life or whatever. And it's like, cool, I have to tell you this. And at least a very generalized portion of it, like not necessarily any specifics, any names or anything like that. But so that you know, you can accept it or not accept it. Like, but I can like at least tell like how invested you are. I don't know how the mind state works. And it's not necessarily like a good thing that I do that. Mm-hmm. And I haven't told Leon yet, which is like a first for me. And then I thought about it when all of this, like, you need to be stronger. You have to, you know, doubt yourself less and you got to motivate yourself. You can't always look to other people for motivation kind of thing. And I wanted to tell him so bad, like, I've been through this huge fucking thing. And then all these smaller things that made the huge thing even worse. And this is why I am the way I am. And I swear to God, I'm trying so hard to fix it. And then my therapist is like, but do you have to? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, like, no. She's like, you have to make the decision to do that because you just genuinely want him to know. Not because, she's like, I mean, of course you could do what you want, but like, do you really want to do that out of emotion? Because if you do it out of emotion, you may be expecting him to react a certain way. And then what happens when he doesn't?
That's a good point.
Like, you might set yourself up to be very disappointed because he might be like, okay, that isn't, no, for real though. But yeah, like, you know, yeah, like, thank you for she telling me, but this doesn't, like, for him, he might really be
he
like,
might
yo,
still
this
be like, you're too negative or
exactly,
something like that.
Exactly. Like, okay, I understand that she went through this thing, but still you have to da da da. I don't
he
know.
He could say, that happened to me too.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And look where I am and look how I cope kind of thing. Like, I really just don't know. There's so many ways that it can go. And I really just don't want to bring that up in a way that it's like.
It shouldn't be used as like a weapon.
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like.
A playing card.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I have to tell you this so you understand me. Because I'm like, I think there's so much more to me than my trauma for you to understand
me. Don't
let
your trauma define you.
And for real. I mean, it was. Because it's a learning fucking process. This is the first relationship I've been in besides my last relationship. But that was me getting into therapy. But in me knowing him, I've been in therapy the whole time. So like he gets to get the better part mm-hmm. of me because he's getting the learning me as opposed to the more emotionally stagnant me. But that's why I just haven't told him yet. Like, I think about it every time that I've seen him. I've only seen him twice. But every time I've seen him, I thought about it. And I was like, oh, it doesn't feel right. Because I don't want to weaponize it. I don't want it to be like the thing I kind of hold over his head. Like, you can't feel this way about me because look what happened to me. And that's not fair for anybody, especially me, mm-hmm. to have to like tell that over and over again to everybody that I fucking date. Mm-hmm. For them to be like, all right, well, like, I still hate you.
And niggas, like, be like that. Too,
no, oh, absolutely. Like, I felt it. Yeah. And I've definitely had moments where I was like, damn, I wish I didn't say that. I don't think that I'd ever feel that way with Leon. And I'm sure that he'll react in an appropriate way. But I also don't want to have any expectations for him to react to anything.
Yeah.
Like, I want the expectation for me to tell him and for him to just be like, you know, thank you for trusting me with that. And you know, that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to talk about it kind of thing, like, let me know, even though the answer would always be absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then, yeah, I think I talked too long. So that's all I got then.
Well, I thank you for sharing. I feel like that was a very transparent fuck me on your end. And also, I am proud of the steps that you are taking to improve yourself and your mental health. And then also,
do you feel it?
Yes. Yes. I think you don't re-listen to episodes, but like I was listening to an episode from like a year ago and I can hear myself being depressed and I didn't even like know that was being picked up on like fucking tape or whatever. Wow. Like sometimes I say it or whatever, but like I didn't know that it was like so fucking apparent. It really was apparent in that episode to myself. Maybe not to other people, but you know you best, right? Mm-hmm. So just to like see the way that you're growing, it might be like a fun activity for you to listen to some old things that you've said and been like, oh shit, like that's how I was processing things then. Look at how I'm processing things now. And then you can give yourself your fucking roses because you deserve them. Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
It's my ass cheeks. It's actually Rodeca's ass cheeks.
It's Rodeca's ass cheeks.
All the way from Brooklyn. Exactly. It's mad loud. Some shit's beat. Okay, so my fuck me is that I don't like anyone romantically anymore. That's not true. I don't like new people romantically anymore. And a lot of the old people, I don't like them particularly either. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it takes not a lot, but it's a, like, I've always said that I'm pansexual, heteromantic. I think that's a little bit more fluid than I've originally stated it, but for the most part, I still feel like that's true. Mm-hmm. You can never say, or I don't think I can ever say anything definitively, because I right now I'm like 27-year-old Samantha, and I don't know what 28-year-old Samantha or 30-year-old Samantha is ever going to be like, but that's how I feel right now, right? I feel like I'm just more inclined to be romantically attracted to men. And I just really don't like these niggas. Oh, so then I'm just not romantically attracted to anybody.
I could see that.
And like, I see like I have all these, I write the cute date idea list. I have so many fucking ideas and I have like all of these things that I want to experience with people. But like, I don't like anybody enough to do it. And I don't even like the idea of trying to get to know someone to do it, because like, you fucking engage, like, okay. So we didn't talk about this on the air, but me and Rob went to a party on Labor Day one time, and I was very drunk off my ass, but I feel like my behavior there was indicative of how I really feel.
Yeah.
Like some fucking, what is it, sober thoughts, drunk actions type shit. So at the party, apparently I was like, it's really how I really feel. Like, I'll see somebody who like I think is cute and great externally, and then like 5 minutes in I'm just like, you're a fucking despicable piece of shit.
Yes, but except that Sam was saying that out loud.
Yeah, at the party. Yeah. Was I saying that? I hope not
like that, but you're like this nigga's fucking annoying. Oh, get away from me. Turning around, you would shoo niggas away.
I was actually shooing them away.
It was literally Sam being a misandrist to the T.
Yeah. And yeah, that's like how I legitimately feel. And I don't really know like where to go from there, except for like nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, I do want to fucking do all these things and like have experiences with people, but like, cause that's the fun of being single. But like, maybe there is no fun of being single for me, like, well, forever.
What about, I mean, considering that you still are attracted to people who are not men, but you're not, if I'm not mistaken, you're not trying to like enter into a relationship with anybody right now. So even then, and still experiencing or is it just that
I want to like, it's not that I just want to like do shit. I want to like feel like the butterflies, and I want to engage in the cuteness. Like, I want to feel that.
Have you really like really explored your queerness yet?
What do you mean?
Like, just to see what would happen if you did, like, try to date a woman or try to take a woman more seriously outside of something sexual.
I think that I've talked to women trying to go down that path, but if I don't feel it,
nah, I got you.
Then I'm not going to
just wasn't hitting.
Fake it. Yeah, because that would be weird, right?
No, that would be weird. I mean, because it would be weird because eventually you'd be like okay, this isn't it.
Bitch, I don't like you, but like, let's
do shit. Yeah. I know. I get that. I do understand that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's like sometimes niggas really do reach that point. I swear to God, if I wasn't with this nigga, I've been, even with him, I'd still be so ready to just dub niggas.
Yeah,
because I just be so tired of men. Like, it's just so draining having to deal with them and just deal with them and their existence and just the fact that they're everywhere and they're like little viruses. And it's like, I love them and I hate that.
Like, I don't even. That's how I felt for a kind of a long time, maybe like the past like 5 years or so. But now I don't even like love them anymore.
Duh.
Like, I'm just disgusted. I like most of the time, yeah, I'm disgusted.
I wish that a lot of the times, still, I wish that I wasn't so attracted to men. Mm. Like, I wish that, like, I was more queer, because mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, I think we discussed this before, and like the something that Queen said, but you know, we were conditioned to give men all these fucking chances, and then yeah, when some yeah. shit, like the smallest thing happens with like a femme yeah. or a woman, it's like, all right, bye, bitch. Mm-hmm. And I think that's happened in a lot of my like woman relationships, that mm-hmm. it was just very quickly ending, like no chances, even though I've given like 1,000 chances to niggas. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I was more tolerant, mm-hmm. because I probably would have saved myself a ton of bullshit, because mm-hmm. a lot of the bullshit that happened was just like men exclusive, mm. men exclusively being with men. Men being men.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do understand the misandry happening in your soul right now.
Well, okay. I've never tried anything with someone who is non-binary, point blank period. So that's something that is worth exploring. Mm-hmm. So I can't like make a definitive, any of these definitive sweeping statements are like inaccurate because they're definitive sweeping statements. Exactly. But this is just my life. But like with women, it's not like, oh, this bitch did something like a little bit and I don't like her. It's just like, I just really don't like fuck with you like that. Like I would like fuck you like that, but I don't fuck with you like that.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And it's not even like, it's not like I'm going into it like this nigga's going to be disgusting. Mm-hmm. I guess that's like something that's always in the back of my mind and to the side of my rib, because men are trash, hashtag the literal tattoo. But it's not like I'm ever expecting anything. It's just like, oh, okay, you've like, you've done something and you've made yourself like apparent in that you're fucking disgusting, like off rip, mm-hmm. or a year down the line, mm-hmm. or 3 weeks in. Like it's just mm-hmm. always fucking happens. Like, what do you do? What do you do with that?
I don't know. My nigga, just chill. Yeah. I would even just explore
but like,
that.
And I am just chilling, but like for the sake of this like show, I have to yeah. say something.
Yeah, no, I feel that. You're just probably going to be chilling on some solo shit for a minute. I do hope that, though, somebody does come along who's not disgusting so that you can like do shit with, like, not that's not disgusting, because like all niggas are disgusting, but that's like less disgusting enough where it's like, you know what, this is tolerable.
I don't want that.
You don't want that at all?
No, I don't want that.
Fuck it.
Yeah, I don't want that. I was in a relationship for a very long time, like since I was 16 years old, and that ended when I was 25 or something like that. I don't know, I always forget, whatever, I was old. And obviously we opened up our relationship, and when that first happened, I guess what I was looking for was just sex with other people, mm-hmm. which is also like kind of trash with men. But I then that evolved into just me wanting romantic connections with other people, mm-hmm. and like I'm kind of jealous of him, because then and even now he's explored wild. So many romantic yeah. relationships with other people, mm-hmm. and like I've explored maybe one really, and like looking back, like he was kind of disgusting, to be honest. Like
why where
do I go? Like I can't yeah, like is there like, am I fucking flawed? Is there something wrong with me? Like is there a reason why I can't fucking,
it's literally
explore
men.
This part,
but it's yeah, literally it men in that, actually in that he's dating women.
Yeah,
because if he was dating men, he'd probably be in the same fucking situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah, it sucks.
See, if he was like gay,
huh?
If he was gay,
yeah,
but you're not.
Yeah,
so here we are.
That's exactly it. And it's just like, damn, like I want to do mad shit in my life. Like I want to fucking, like I want to like learn how to play a new sport just to fucking learn how to play a new sport. I want to go to Egypt just because I can, and I fucking want to learn some fucking ancient shit. I want to fucking go camping just because I had never been camping before. So I want to fucking like have like fucking a cute little love affair with somebody, and I literally cannot do that. Which is like, it's a weird thing to be like angry at, because you can never control how other people respond to you or mm-hmm. control anything about other people. But mm-hmm. like, I don't think it should be this hard.
So how do you feel about it though? So you're not angry, but how do you feel about it?
Interesting. Let me talk to my therapist about that tomorrow. I don't
I'm
know.
Dead.
Sad, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I probably am angry too, but it's not like I'm carrying it in my body or like taking it out on other people. Or maybe I am. I don't know. It's a good question.
We'll see.
That's a psychology degree? Where did that come from? The fuck?
Make me think. It's just a good point. Like, I've come to realize that sometimes we be saying shit and we don't even like completely process it. It's like, oh shit, wait, how do I feel about this? Like, when I'm arguing with Leon,
well,
about
clearly
shit,
it bothers
like,
me.
Yeah, well, clearly it does. But it's like, in what way, you know? And like, why does it bother you? Like, how much do you truly care? Do you care because you care? Do you care because you feel like you should care and you actually don't really care that much? It's a lot that goes into it. But once you unpack it, you can either minimize it, you know, if you want to, or you can not minimize it if you don't want to.
Why does it bother me? Because I think I should be bothered, or because I'm actually bothered? It's because I'm actually bothered. Because I don't really think that I have or I hold fast to like traditional views on relationships anyway. So like, and it's not even like I'm not mad because like niggas is out here like having kids and getting married. Like, it's good for you. I don't fucking want to do either of those things at this moment. So that's not why it bothers me. It's just like, I want to have experiences in life, and the fact that I can't have this experience because you niggas are fucking disgusting sucks, man. Have you ever looked back on niggas who you've dealt with and then been disgusted at the things that you like let slide?
Yes.
That's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and that's bothering me.
That shit is... I sometimes I'm not sure.
And then for it to not
healthy.
Even work out in the long run,
yeah, you're like, why did I do
doubly
this?
Disgusted at yourself.
I don't.
How was it ever going to work out? Because
they were trash. Yeah, it's like I did that at one point, but then I was like, okay, cool, I can't do this and also be mad at myself. Because I'm like, it literally, like, niggas literally make you feel like it's you, so you can't be mad for falling for the trick that they literally like put onto you. Like, they literally did what they like did things
yeah,
on purpose
you
to make
scammed
you
me.
Yeah. they sold you a fucking dream, so you can't be mad at like buying the dream, because niggas will literally be like, it's literally you, it's not me. And you're like, okay, you put up this fine argument.
I'm mad for falling for the dream for like so long. And this is not like me talking about one particular person, but like in every instance, I feel like there were multiple red flags that I was just like, all right, but I'm just trying to have some fun out here.
Yeah, I mean, but that'd be it, though. It's like you have to forgive yourself, because it's slim pickings. Like, it's not like niggas
That's
be walking around with this plethora of fucking choices. So you unfortunately tell yourself, I have to let this shit slide, because like, what the fuck else I got going on? It's either this nigga or I literally gotta do this shit by myself 100%, which is mad fucking lonely sometimes. Like, this shit do be wild boring to just 100% be single. So you have to like, you end up weighing the flags. Like, how big is this? It is a red flag, and you know it's a red flag, but how big is this red flag? Like, is it a showstopper? Yeah, this nigga said some dumb shit, but could it stop him?
Yeah.
Could it fuck me up? Like, will I be traumatized by this flag? If I'm not gonna be traumatized by this flag, I can accept this flag because this man serves a purpose. I'm not trying to marry him. Like, I'm trying to do these specific things. But in the same way, you kind of lose value of yourself in doing that. You devalue yourself. Like, you're not worth non red flag having niggas. But unfortunately, all these niggas have mad red flags. Like, it's wild. And not to say, I mean, fuck the oh, but women too. Women also have mad red flags. However, it's significantly less red flags, and it's flags that you understand. It's very interesting to come to a point where it's like, I'm done.
I'm done. Yeah.
Like, you literally reached the end of the line.
Though we've come to the end of the road.
And there literally is a line. Like,
still I will let you go.
It's like you basically ascended.
Let's go on to our next segment now, which is aptly named
Fuck You.
The segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com and include your pronouns.
Failing whole class 101. Hi. My name is Macy. I'm black, 22, and my pronouns are she, her. And I've been trying to get bitches to call me Beth. I can't even say it. I've been trying to get bitches to call me daddy, but that's what I need you all's help with. So I'm trying to go through my whole phase, as one does. And for the most part, I'm very successful. I can get a girl's number, no problem, boyfriend or not. And I usually can get her to come to my house or me to theirs. But as far as closing the deal, that only happens 30% of the time. And that's because I get over there and I don't want to make a move because I'm scared they're going to reject me and say no, because it's not like we specifically said, yeah, we're fucking when I get over there. So eventually we just can kind of end up sitting while I'm having an internal breakdown. And of course, that doesn't make for a good conversation. So things get awkward after a while and then they nicely kick me out. But the worst part is that I get mad at them for us not having sex because I feel like I wasted my time since I never even tried to make a move. It makes me even madder. It's not like the girls don't know that I'm interested in that way, because I make my intentions clear from jump. So that way, before I even get your number, you know what's up. I just want to have sex right now. I'm not really looking for a relationship, but if a girl ever wanted one, I have no problem starting the process. I'm not intimate at all. I'm one of those people who everybody knows is gay, but I refuse to say it unless we're actually friends or you're a girl I'm interested in, because I don't feel like it's anyone else's business, to be honest. Anyway, thank you for reading all of this, and I like my advice raw. Don't hold anything back or we won't. Thank you all. I love you, and keep doing what you're doing. You're really making a difference. Macy.
Oh, Macy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for writing in. Wanna go first?
All right. I just want to definitely point out that getting mad at anybody for not wanting to have sex with you is...
shit is for the birds.
Yeah, it's wildly, painfully problematic. Like, you can definitely never, ever... It's very manlike.
It's extremely manlike.
It's like just... Okay, let me phrase this right. Sometimes when women like women, they feel like they have to emulate men.
Yeah.
You just know that. Know that you do not have to emulate men.
Please don't, actually, because like, as you previously heard,
men are that's trash. A turnoff. Yes, yeah. It's gross. Like, that's the last species of human you want to emulate. And so don't think of, because it almost sounds like women are like rewards. Like, yeah, I can get their numbers and I can get to their house and da da da. But like, women are all different. Like, people are all different. Mm-hmm. So one thing that might have worked on one person isn't going to work on somebody else. And there's nothing wrong with just like exclusively wanting to sleep with people. That's like completely okay. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying you're making your intentions clear before you even get their number, and then you're saying when you get to the house, you weren't sure of whether or not you guys weren't going to have sex, so you didn't make a move, mm-hmm. then your intentions weren't clear. Mm-hmm. Like, literally making intentions clear, almost like verbatim stating exactly what you mean, like, mean what you say what you mean.
And then even if you did make your intentions clear, which sounds like you didn't, but even if you didn't, consent is like an ongoing thing. So mm-hmm. you know, at this point, just ante up. If you're at their house and you want to have sex with them, be a grown up and say, would you like to have sex with me? Mm-hmm. In whatever way that works for you. You can make it prettier, you can make it sexier, mm-hmm. you can make it more raunchy, but you just have to outright ask. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, then just fully be mad at yourself, though.
Yeah, because it's literally, it just becomes your fault.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything, and then you literally left.
Closed mouths do not get fed.
Nah, don't get fed no pussy.
exactly. Yeah.
So one way that I've learned, because like some people, I've had like a hard time sometimes with women, but not for that reason, mostly because I don't want to be the creep. I don't want to be the man, mm-hmm. and I don't want to accidentally be pushy or anything like that. So I used to try to really take my time, but mm-hmm. then we'd both be taking our time so much that nothing would ever happen. And we all have blue balls. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I began doing, like with the last one I had sex with, is like, I would fill out the energy, and then you just like be asking, is it okay if I kiss you?
Yeah.
Then is it okay if I touch you here? Is it okay if I take off your panties? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, just the ongoing consent.
Yeah, which is sexy.
And then usually they'd be like, please put your head between my legs, and I'm like, oh well, we could have just cut to the fucking cheese. You know,
and
also making sure that they like, I'd appreciate if they give me ongoing consent. Like, is it okay if I touch you? Is it okay if I take your shirt off? I might say no. Mm-hmm. So, because I might be very uncomfortable and full of pressure. So, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely. There's ways to make it sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that like it's just not working out for you, but you really have to work on saying things and definitely
speaking, my nigga.
and can't get mad. Like you can never ever get mad at a woman for not wanting to fuck you.
Don't get mad at anybody for not wanting to fuck you.
I'm just talking to this person specifically because they like women, but in general, you can't.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
It's never fair. And then you're literally saying like your consent means nothing because if I could, I would.
Yeah.
Fuck you, regardless of not if you want it, kind of thing. So, and just please don't emulate men.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. The I get it every single time, boyfriend or not, is like, everybody cheats on everybody. Like, I know that you're like 22 and you're like, ha, 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 I'm hot shit, but like,
no, that's like a normal thing.
It's not hard to get anyone's number ever.
No. Really, I might even give up. I've definitely given out my number in a very committed relationship. I never spoke to that person. Yeah. They might hit me up and I'm like, I'm not going to answer you. I just wanted to give somebody my number. Congrats.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean by like the collected little trinkets. Like, oh yeah, I'm bagging all
these
bitches.
Nobody's a fucking trinket.
Nobody like
they gave you their number because they wanted to do it, not because like it you wasn't have a, some sort of. I'm you sure you're great.
Mojo Jojo.
I'm sure you're great, but like you're not fucking Johnny Bravo out here. Like,
it's like yeah, they just,
you're awesome.
I walk into the club, they just start throwing their numbers at me. I start getting airdrop pictures of like fucking ad contacts and shit, and like, nah, you're good.
Yeah,
but just please be vocal.
Yes,
be consensual.
Yes,
and be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Treat your casual dates like people.
Help out your fellow man. Give him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Next up. Aish, pronouns they, them. Aish writes, I would love to hear more about your dating and sexual experiences with women or non-binary/trans folks. I really love the representation you all give, and I live for every episode. I live in a place where there aren't very many queer people of color, for that matter, so I'm always thirsty for QPOC content. Love you guys. Also, they were talking to us on a live, and this kind of continued on from the live, just to give that context. Also, I'm a queer woman. What do you do if your partner wants to receive sexual acts from you, but they never reciprocate and leave you hot and bothered and tease you, but never follow through? I love this person and I don't want them to feel pressured to do anything they don't want to. It seems like they're all walk, no talk. Sorry. It seems like they're all talk, no walk. We've been together for a few months and I'm always ready to give her what she wants and needs, but in that time she's only reciprocated with touch 2 times. Help a boy out, signed Aish. I know that we were talking about this on live.
Yeah.
And you were saying something.
I think it was saying that, like, because we were like, damn, because at first we thought it was like the other way, like that they didn't, they like
they didn't want to be touched.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, something like that. We were like, oh, and then it was like, oh, that you're not getting touched. And then I'm like, okay, I can see how like kind of shitty that could feel. And I was saying to really consider like truly asking your partner, like, why don't you want to touch me?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
or
not
why
phrasing
aren't
it.
You?
Yeah. Because it may not be that they don't want to.
Yeah,
it just means that there's a reason. There's literally a reason why they're not.
Mm-hmm.
For it might not be a good reason, but it also might not be a bad reason.
You don't know until you ask.
Yes, but it's like you really have to ask. You definitely have to like communicate in that fashion. Also be open to the idea that y'all niggas just might not meant to, like, you might not be meant to be together in that fashion. Because if that's something that you require, which is completely okay to require to be like touched, because you're in a relationship with a person who has hands and you got a coochie, so you know, but also But yeah, to know that this might not be it for mm-hmm. you, if that's yeah. something that
they
is
might
important
not
to you.
Be your person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely have like an open conversation about like why it's not happening,
and just be prepared for whatever you might hear.
Yeah.
So you got to be in a good space. It has to be a comfortable environment, not on some text message shit. Just like, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk, because it probably would be a lengthy conversation. You might have some unpacking to do. Mm-hmm. It might not be something that you really want to hear. Mm-hmm. It might be something that might be hurtful. Mm-hmm. And because it's about you, because it's about something that hurt them. Like, you really just, there's so many ways that could go. But mm-hmm. you literally can't assume. There's no one way to go about it besides talking. Mm-hmm. Communication be fucking everything, clearly. Yeah. We just talked about communication. It's about communication.
For the top part, me personally, I don't have any interesting dating or sexual experiences with women that I would share on the show. Like, I really just like talk to women and sometimes I hang out with women, but it doesn't really like go anywhere. And they're not like I feel like one of my big brands on this show is just like saying really zany, or even like back in the day. Now I don't really say much because I don't really do much anymore, but like it was like either really, really zany instances I've had with men or really, really trash instances I've had with men. Mm-hmm. And that's like the entertaining bits for the purposes of this show. Mm-hmm. But with women, it's never like anything wild, problematic, or mm-hmm. like crazy or anything mm-hmm. like that. So I'm just like, there's nothing
about.
To say. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's not like I'm just gonna like drag this bitch through the mud for like
for no reason. Yeah. It's just literally like your picture and it's like, well, I gotta release this content.
Yeah.
I feel like we make up for it in just like the interviews that we do. We interview yeah. like nearly queer people, trans people, non-binary people, because even me as a non-binary person who's been actively queer since I was a kid, mm-hmm. I don't have any experiences that I'm kind of like willing to share on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, the women that I've had sex with, for the most part, I respect their agency enough to, not that I don't respect these niggas, but I also don't respect these niggas.
Me neither.
and also, these niggas don't listen to my podcast.
Yeah,
but the women that I sleep with,
thing,
sometimes
yeah.
they do. Yeah. And I care about them enough to not want to talk about them in any way on this podcast.
Yeah, it's just like an objectifying. Like,
yeah, I don't ever want it to be like, oh, look at this kill that I got.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel that way about women.
Yeah.
In general, I don't really feel that way about niggas because they're niggas, but
yeah. Yeah, that's not even a kill. It
yeah, it's just a thing that happens.
You just laid down and died.
But the women that I've dealt with, and the femmes that I dealt with, the non-binary people that I dealt with, like, actually cared about me mm-hmm. enough in a way that I'm like, I'm not gonna speak about
yeah
anything unless it's like I'm in a relationship, and it's like, okay, I'm no longer in a relationship, and we just keep it pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And the other two hosts, yeah, they don't, I'm not gonna speak for them, but it'd be kind of like the same thing. We just don't got,
generally, yeah,
we don't want to force it, but if it comes, we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't want to force that for content. That's not fair.
Yeah. It's just wild, exploitatory for no reason.
So this bitch,
and then the girl listens and she's like, sis, like, why, like,
why'd you do that?
Exactly.
I thought she likes me.
I'm like, nobody, I like likes and listens. Yeah,
she was for content, bitch. Then you text her later like, I'm so fucking sorry, like, please just, can we go out to dinner tonight? I'll explain the whole thing to you.
All right, we have one more story. It's a long one, and then we're going to wrap up the show. This is from Sunflower. Sunflower writes, "Dear Hoes, I'm not good at telling stories, so here we go." That's such a funny way to preface this, but okay. A while ago, I sort of kind of had a relationship with someone we will call Sunflower. From the start, I knew she was incredibly introverted, and we had a really hard time communicating with people. She had a really hard time communicating with people. I was the exact opposite. I've always been kind of loud and maybe even a little weird to some people. There has been a bit of mystery surrounding our relationship for a while now. And at this point, I really want to know if I should let this bird fly away, ... LOL. Maybe all these years it's been a mystery and not the actual person making me hold on for so long. I met a girl maybe 4 years ago who I thought was the smartest person I'd ever met. See, I wish somebody would say that about me. She was beautiful, a poet, just like me, loved books, and had an amazing voice. Really, we were total opposites, but found that our views, for the most part, were the same. I wondered if the universe was sending me a sign, because we realized that she and I lived in the same neighborhood for years, and also we went to the same schools but never met. Aw. I was just figuring out that I wasn't into monogamy, and we spent a while talking about why. This helped me answer a lot of questions I had for myself. She also came out to me as asexual, and at first I wasn't very educated on what that meant, but once we got to know each other, I learned a lot more. She and I started seeing each other. We were never in an official relationship, but somehow I fell for her pretty hard. We would meet up at coffee shops and bookstores and talk about poetry, gossip, toxic mothers, and raising our siblings. Honestly, I have no idea why she ever even gave me her number. In every way, this girl was better than me, and honestly, I was cool with it. I just wanted to be around her. I felt this pull towards her that has never really gone away. She kissed me between the shelves of a Barnes & Noble, and I thought about that moment long after it happened. Our time together was different from anything I'd ever experienced. She made me feel seen and like my voice as a Black woman really mattered. She made me feel special just by allowing me to be there with her. My relationship with Sunflower ended when she invited me to her apartment and things started to get physical. We were kissing and she moved her hands closer to her vulva and admitted to having fantasies about me, which confused the hell out of me at the time because I thought she didn't experience things like that. Long story short, cringe, I got way in my head. I was nervous and had lost all confidence. I'd had so much dick in my life, and when I thought about having sex with her, or I don't know, just doing whatever she was comfortable with, I freaked out. I felt like I had no clue what to do. I kept thinking, how should I touch her? I feel like these stories are all in a trend, no?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and I was too afraid to even ask. It was just so bad. I clammed up, and so did she. We both decided to stop, and things got very awkward afterwards. Sunflower was no longer feeling whatever it was that made her want to be with me. After this happened, she said it would be better for us to remain friends. But the next day, she ghosted me. I didn't understand why, and I figured maybe I'd done something wrong. I didn't hear from her for a whole year. I felt rejected. I felt like with my inexperience, I'd freak her out. I went over this for months trying to remember what I'd done wrong. Now, this is where things get a little weird. Some ways down the line, Sunflower contacts me after apologizing for how she acted and said she was in a quote-unquote weird space at the time. She asked me out for tea, which I took as a date. Maybe it wasn't. All we did was engage in small talk and go our separate ways. Months go by and I'm teaching my first writing workshop and Sunflower shows up. She is there, but besides the polite hello, she doesn't really speak to me. That is so weird, and that's I hate when people so do weird. Things like that.
It's like, bitch, you know I'm here.
Exactly. It's my workshop. What? Like, 2 years after that, one of our mutual friends mentioned that she and Sunflower had a few conversations about our relationship. Deep stuff, but she refused to tell me the details, stating, quote unquote, I want you two to come together organically. And I'm like, what the fuck? So now I'm openly non-monogamous, older, with just slightly more life experience, and just moved in with my primary, who, through an inside joke, I'll call Thigh Baby.
Isn't cute?
Yeah. When we first got together, I told Thigh Baby all about my relationship / feelings for Sunflower to release the thoughts and feelings I've had all this time. From time to time, I go through these spells where she is all I can think about. Thigh Baby suggested I talk to Sunflower to maybe gain some closure. Hell nah. A year goes by, and again, my thoughts of Sunflower are gone until we both get invited to a book release party. Sunflower performed her poetry on stage and mentioned that she is now in a relationship. I spent the next week obsessing and watching her social media like a wild person. I kept replaying scenes from our time together in my head and still wondering where things went wrong. 2 months go by, and out of nowhere, Thigh Baby and I have this random conversation about exes. I tell her, oh, nah, I'm so over Sunflower, and all she does is laugh. No less than an hour after this conversation, I ride to a convenience store, and guess who is walking out with a handful of bags? Sunflower. This is wild.
Creepy.
Yeah. I'm probably reaching, but does it mean anything? We do live in the same city, but it's not often that we run into each other, meaning I've gone at least 1 year without seeing her, period. And it always seems to happen right after I've mentioned her name in conversation. Really, I just need to stop obsessing over a dead relationship that never really went anywhere and most likely never will go anywhere. What do y'all think? Alejandro, she, her.
I just want to point out that that sometimes happens to me, but in a different way. There's a person that I do not talk to anymore, but I'll dream about them, and then the next day or 2 days later max, they'll try to contact me some way somehow. That's been happening for fucking years, and literally years.
Some people are linked, man.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like because even sometimes I'll dream about someone else who ghosted me in the same way, and then she'd still contact me. It's so fucking weird, very odd. But then I just figured, like, sometimes you have a spiritual connection with somebody, but it doesn't mean that you have to nurture that connection. You can just be intertwined, like, spiritually, but you don't necessarily have to communicate with that person. You know they're not dead. So what else is there? Sometimes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know you're not dead. I see you all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to contact me or you wanted to get in touch with me, you would have been many opportunities. Clearly, yeah. They've been ignoring you.
When they walked into your workshop and didn't say anything, to me, that's like the final thing. Mm-hmm. Like, when you know that someone is literally not dead and they are not contacting you, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, they're not contacting you for a fucking reason. And mm-hmm. It's not your responsibility to, like, search your brain or even hit them up for the reason why. Because mm-hmm. at that point, the reason why doesn't even fucking matter. They don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So if you want to do one last thing, and I'm really against those one last things, I've been like a one last thing kind of bitch, and this is just me internalizing it, but I would not ever try to nurture or hit them up ever again. Mm-hmm. This is something that, like, clearly you still need to process more, mm-hmm. which you can do, like, on your own or with a therapist, but I don't think that there's any space where you're ever going to, like, process what happened with them. Mm-hmm. But if you want to hit them up one last time on the event that, like, for some benefit of the doubt shit, they felt weird being at your workshop or whatever, if you mm-hmm. want to, like, reach out to them once and being like, oh, can we have, like, an actual conversation now that I'm older and I know more and you're older and you know more, can we actually sit down and not have small talk over tea, but can we talk about what happened and see if they're receptive to that? But if not, it's weird. And you are, like, if, like, believing in spirituality is your kind of thing, I would definitely say, like, there is something there, but it doesn't mean, like Rob said, you have to fucking nurture it. It doesn't seem like there's a point.
Mm-mm. I'm the same way too. Like, you're not trying to beat a dead horse and shit, but I do know how it feels when, like, some shit really bothers you mm-hmm. and you feel like the reason why, even though this person was super great, the reason why they don't fuck with you no more is your fault. And you feel also a lot of guilt because you're like, oh, if I just would have did this thing, you know, even though it's typically not the case.
It's never the case.
However,
because that's not how people work.
Mm-hmm, but niggas be human.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, like, if you can't help the way you feel. Like, that guilt, it just be guilt. I know I recently hit up my ex, because not like that, like, but we were just, like, very, very much ignoring each other. Well, they were very much ignoring me for a while. It would be like a lot of small talk. Oh, let's link. We never link. The one time that we did meet up after we broke up, we did our nails, went to dinner. The whole thing was just small talk and it was just really weird. But many moons later, I hit them up like, okay, are we both in a good space where we can unpack what happened so we can move past and be friends, because we were really good friends. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, we are. So we're meeting up tomorrow. But more than likely, that won't be the case for you because it's been so fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's just so many opportunities, because the same way you're seeing them, they're seeing you.
They're seeing you, yeah. Like, they're seeing
there's
you.
There's no way. Even if at the book, I think what they said at the book signing, that they didn't see them, more than likely, I guarantee you that they knew you were there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they you have an you event, there. You know.
You know everybody who's fucking there. Nigga, we know.
Except for that one person. Sorry, you change your hairstyle a lot.
For the most part, we be knowing who everybody is, and especially at your event, you're hypersensitive to who's in there. They knew you were there. You have to be prepared to be rejected.
Yeah. So if you do contact them this last time or whatever, they might just ghost that shit.
Yeah, they literally might block you.
They've already ghosted you.
Mm-hmm.
For years. Yeah. So
I definitely would say, as far as your guilt with that interaction, I think that's worth exploring in therapy. Because I can see how that can be, like, really, like, traumatizing mm-hmm. to, like, really like somebody that much and clam up in a moment of sexuality mm-hmm. and then that person, like, never talking to you again, even though you felt you had this strong connection.
Mm-hmm.
But
I also empathize why you clammed up. Like, yeah. Going into a situation that you don't think is going to be sexual, even if you want it to be sexual, mm-hmm. and then it all of a sudden is, I would have clammed up too.
Yeah, because you're like,
I thought you were asexual.
You know, because a lot of times when you have a situation where you are hanging out with somebody, but there's a good chance it might be sexual. You already thought about this shit in your head.
Exactly.
Like, I've been fantasizing about
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
I knew that there was a good chance that you was going to put your hand on my thigh.
This has already
know what time
been
it
a
is.
Movie in your head.
Yes, you know what time it is.
Yeah.
But for you, you didn't know what time it was.
I thought we were just going to chug. I thought we were going to fucking watch Netflix.
And then she's like, oh, I have fantasies about you. And you're just like...
like, you do that? Like, I don't
I literally asexual people. Like, I don't know if asexual people have fantasies, but like, my understanding is that... it's just not a completely sexual thing for them. It's not just sex.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this, like, you had the proper understanding of what asexuality was. So for them to like come out of it in that way.
Yeah. And she might have been like gray sexual or on the spectrum and been exploring that herself, which might be why.
Yes. Because
she also was like, wait, what?
She might have been confused too.
Yeah. You were both confused.
But also in the same way that we were talking about this last person, like not being mad when people don't want to have sex with you, that wasn't fair for her to completely 100% reject you for you not wanting to have, even if you wanted to, but still, she doesn't know that, whatever, but you not having sex with her. There's nothing wrong with not having sex with somebody. And it's also,
yeah,
if that's
like,
the case, you talk about it.
Yeah, that's such a weird way to look at it, because even if like you did have some hesitancy on her end, she shouldn't, like, that wasn't like, You could have had sex later.
Yeah.
Like
for her, it was the end all be all.
It's always okay to be like, wait, let's take a moment and think about what's about to actually happen. Like, that's fine. Like, you're both going to be there and your genitals are probably still going to be there too.
Yeah. Like it was literally, oh, if it doesn't happen in this moment, then
there's sex ever.
Right? That's a
sex
very.
Is canceled.
It's so weird. That wasn't, that she honestly doesn't sound like a very good person.
Ooh, Sunflower. Like, I mean, she's been doing some weird shit.
That's all mad super sus. And I personally don't even think that it's worth exploring. That you clearly, if you have a primary partner now, and I'm sure that throughout, this sounds like a very long thing, like, you've met other people who have probably been better person to you, and who have probably given you like the kind of things outside of sex, because clearly you were ready to be with this person outside of having any kind of sexual gratification. But who can give you all of these other things? Like, I'm sure you have friends who actually love you.
Yeah.
This person clearly did not love you. Because saying I was in a weird space is not a good enough explanation
for not hit somebody up for
ghosting somebody after.
And not tell them.
Yeah. Completely ghosting
trash.
Somebody
People
for
who
like
care
a
about
year.
You don't do things like that.
Ghosting somebody for a year is never, there's never a reason.
There's never
ghosting
a reason.
Somebody after being rejected is already not okay.
Yeah.
And then doing
ghosting
it for
somebody,
that long.
Period. Like, if somebody ghosts you for, like, honestly, a week.
No,
don't
you're dumb.
Fuck with them. Don't fuck
any
with
kind
them.
Of ghosting. Like, I might, like, be on some shit where I won't answer, like, somebody for a few hours, but it's literally because I'm like, I need to think about what the fuck just happened and what I want to say. But a week is like, I literally have no intention of hitting you back.
Exactly. I feel like, I mean, you made the claim here yourself where it was like, is it real or is it just like the mysterious allure of it? I think you are kind of like building up this person in your head, and that's what you're like so attracted to, like the could have been, as opposed to who they actually are as a person. Like, she's great, but I don't think she's probably not that great.
No,
know? Like,
it probably sounds very cute.
There's just mad people who like fucking poetry and
like fucking coffee and will probably kiss you in the middle of a Barnes & Noble. It sounds like very cute.
Yeah, and like, I can see like why you shit. Would attach to something like that. But like,
I would say apparently this is very important to you, so you don't have to let go of the memory, but you
let go of the person attached.
Yes,
to it.
And it's time to definitely attach new feelings in general to that person, because it seems like you're just holding on to the same feelings, but it's like you're not acknowledging that the person hurt you. It's more like, it was me, and then you literally have bigged this person up this entire time, and they were not a good person to you.
Yeah,
like you have to realize that
the whatever weeks of cuteness, let's call it 6 months, I don't know how long it was, but like the 6 months of cuteness is not worth the 4 years of being like, what was this? That's all it was. It was the cute 6 months. And you can always look back and be like, oh, that was fun while it lasted. But you don't have to like pursue and like find meaning or whatever, or like try to reconnect or anything
and
like
not,
that.
And not everything is worth being fucking followed. But definitely do not internalize guilt for not being prepared to have sex when you were not prepared to have sex.
Yeah.
That's completely okay. Especially like an encounter, because it seems like this might have been their first time, somebody like with a vagina. And your first encounter always goes horrible.
That's also a reason why you should be okay with having taken a step back. Because there's a lot of firsts going on.
Yeah, that's
there was a lot of things going on.
Like, come on. Like, yeah. Like if y'all would have... I ate ass the first time I ate pussy. Because I had no idea what a coochie was. Even though I had a coochie, I never had somebody give me head. So I did not know how to give head because I didn't know what that meant. I wasn't watching porn because it happened on a whim. And she's like, that's my booty hole. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know they're so close together. Like...
That's a great name for an episode. I ate ass the first time I ever ate pussy.
But it's literally what happened.
I believe
but it's,
you. It,
but if I could have just took a step back and like took my time and maybe said, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this, I probably wouldn't have because it was just all around not a good time for anybody, okay?
I'm straight up not having a good time right now.
I didn't eat pussy for a minute after that. I was fucking traumatized, bro. Like, it was just all
Is
around.
Is it all ass?
Is the whole thing one big booty hole? Also, it was like, can I not eat that? So I wasn't eating ass for like, fuck, I didn't start eating ass so recently because niggas made it seem like, oh my God, you're eating my ass. Oh my God, this is so horrible. It's like, was your ass clean? Are you telling me that because your ass ain't clean?
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe.
I don't know. You're
she
fucking
was,
right.
She was in a state of defense.
But she said it so calmly, like, oh, you know that's my butthole, right? And I was like...
Oh, so she was just checking in.
But I don't know. Because I felt like, well, if you're telling me, because how do you know that I wasn't doing that on purpose?
Oh, okay.
You know, but if you telling me, it was like, and you know, we were 15. This was like fucking like over 10 years
Niggas
ago.
Niggas wasn't eating ass at 15.
Exactly. So I think she was telling me on some like, you might not want to do that. I don't think niggas eat that part. I don't think that's edible.
It's the fucking orange rind.
Yeah. Like, niggas
it's the avocado
peel. Niggas eating the skin of the sweet potato. Like, you're not, that's not where that goes. So... In your defense,
how do we
you
get
know,
here? Oh yeah, yeah
yes.
Okay.
In your defense, your first time probably would have been even more tragic than what happened. So I'm happy that you did take a step back and you know, like I'm not prepared.
Nothing you ever did was wrong, Alejandro.
No, you did. You
Except
did
for
what
crying
you did.
Over this bitch. No,
nah, just kidding.
Then I become a man.
Right.
I become what I hate.
Niggas literally turns into a nigga.
Shit.
You gotta put on your fuckboy Halloween costume. Nah, you're good. Just keep it pushing and unpack that shit in therapy.
Yeah. Let's end this show.
All right, all right, all right. If you want to follow this podcast on social media, you can follow us at Inner Hole Uprising with the G on
the
Instagram.
Gospel Rob is back.
I'm Con Rob Rust. All right, just kidding. Anyway, if you want to follow us on Instagram, I just haven't sang in so long. It felt really nice. I'll just sing this whole thing. If you want to follow us on Instagram, it's at innerhoeuprising.com. Wait, it's not .com. It's just innerhoeuprising. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at innerhoeuprising without the G. If you want to go on Facebook, we're facebook.com/innerhoeuprising. And we also have a community. It's called In a Whole Uprising Community, but the community is spelled with a U. It's like community pun. Boom. How was that?
I wish I had a guitar bass or something like that, or yeah, or when they play the little cymbals, like. I gotta bring that next time. I'm sorry.
Did you feel
I
it
came
though?
Unequipped. Yeah, I felt good.
It.
I felt.
Cool.
We God bless.
Yes, God bless
Wig,
y'all.
God bless.
Wig. God bless.
How do we find you on?
If you want to find me,
medias?
If you want, no, I'm done saying it. If you want to find me on social media, I am Clint. Why'd you do that?
I'm sad.
All right, cool. If you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at Instagram, Clint.Yeetwood. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Rob_God.
Let the church say amen.
Amen. And if you want to follow my art, I'm Vanta.Black with a Q.
And then it goes ding, 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 ding.
That's why I'm speaking in tongues and shit.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, I am Slam Red. Oh, Instagram and Twitter, I am Slam Red. And if you want to follow my pictures of Egypt, you can follow my travel page at Carmen San Diego. All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye.